today on Annenberg Radio News.
Largely, McCain, you know, engages in this empty rhetoric. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Angelinos share their thoughts about tonight's presidential debates. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 7th. I'm Brian Frank. USC is investigating a gastrointestinal virus that's infected about 275 students since last Friday. The school is working with the LA County Health Department to stem the spread of the virus. University Park Health Center Director Lawrence Nienstein urges students to be cautious even if they don't have any symptoms.
One of the difficult things with this virus is that you can actually be a carrier and transmit it for anywhere from 2 days to 14 days after you're better. So when people think they're well, they still might transmit it and they still need to wash their hands.
The school expects to pinpoint the type of virus within 2 weeks, the time it takes to grow a culture in the lab. Copper wires for cash. Thieves in Los Angeles are taking taxpayer money and threatening public safety. Winston Chua reports.
LAPD and city officials in Boyle Heights this morning urged the public to help them stop the rising theft of copper wires. Hollenbeck commanding officer Blake Chow says the thieves take wires from under traffic and street lights.
There's a lot of people doing this right now, and what we're trying to do really is more educate the public, which I think is more important, because if you see somebody with a van pull up and he gets out and starts pulling out copper wire and he doesn't have the DWP dress on, then they need to call the police.
What the thieves do is remove two metal plates beneath the lights to cut copper wires. They then pull out the cut wires from one end of a plate. They can get more than $2.50 a pound for the copper. 5 years ago, copper was just 75 cents a pound. As much as 1,500 feet of copper wire has been stolen in one sitting. And with no wiring, there are no lights. Copper thefts can knock out the lights of an entire street block. Terry Cano lives in Boyle Heights.
We have a lot of elderly that use the scooters, and they're narrowly being missed by cars who aren't adjusting their speed to accommodate the lack of light.
4,000 lights have been affected so far in L.A., causing more than $1 million in damages. Governor Schwarzenegger recently signed several bills which require scrap metal vendors to give more detailed information on their transactions. LAPD officials hope that will help them identify thieves. Winston Chua, Annenberg Radio News.
The good news for L.A. in these hard economic times, the county's made some smart investments still worth something today. The bad news? That doesn't apply to county pension funds. Ed Cohen has the story.
The Los Angeles County Treasury has yet to experience investment losses despite the recent market turbulence. That came this afternoon in a report compiled by County Treasurer and Tax Collector Mark Saladino to county supervisors. Of the county's total $18 billion Treasury pool, less than $30 million is tied to investments that are at risk. The report credits the county's enviable financial position to disciplined and conservative investment policies. Assistant Treasurer and Tax Collector Glenn Byers says the county avoided buying any securities backed by subprime mortgages or other exotic securities.
We looked at them, and we couldn't adequately get any comfort that we understood what the underlying security was. And so even though they were rated by the rating agencies, you know, AAA, most of them, we could not get comfortable with them, and so we chose not to buy them.
The county's pension fund, Lacera, has not escaped the financial turmoil. A report from its chief investment officer says the fund held shares in both the Lehman Brothers Investment Bank and the giant insurer AIG. Its holdings in Lehman Brothers became virtually worthless overnight when the bank failed. Ed Cohen, Annenberg Radio News.
Members of the Bus Riders Union performed a play in Koreatown this morning, protesting the delay of a bus-only lane. Hannah Kim has more.
On the corner of Wilshire and Western, a group of people were shouting "bus-only lane" in Spanish. But this wasn't your ordinary protest. The Bus Riders Union staged a street play today calling for funds to create a bus-only lane on Wilshire Boulevard during rush hour. Union organizer Sun Yan Yang says progress has stalled because the city has not secured money for the $27 million project.
It's been a year since the Wilshire bus only lane was officially approved in the LA City Council. Yet a year has passed and there still has not been a secured source of funding.
The play especially criticized Councilwoman Wendy Gruhl, who is the head of the City Council's Transportation Committee. In the performance, bus riders were trapped behind a wall of inaction as an actor playing Gruhl said money was unavailable for the project. She was then shown handing out bags of money to other transportation projects. But a spokesman for the councilwoman says federal funds are allocated for the project. Ben Golombek says the project cannot begin immediately because federal funds require plans to go through an environmental review, a process which can take years.
The councilwoman was actually able to expedite the project. The initial projections were not to be built until 2013 or 2014. She's been able to move that up, and the current projections are that it should be done in the next couple of years.
The Transportation Committee has scheduled to discuss this issue at their meeting tomorrow. The union says it hopes the city got the message. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA City Housing Authority continued to pursue its case against former employees in court this morning. The Housing Authority says the employees misappropriated about $27 million, money that was supposed to help poor Section 8 recipients get affordable housing. A report from the Federal Housing and Urban Development Department claims they used the money to pay for operating losses in other departments. A generous donation from PetSmart will make the new spay and neuter ordinance more affordable for low-income residents in Los Angeles. Erin Darling reports.
The new law that requires all cats and dogs 4 months and older to be sterilized could get expensive for many LA residents. In Los Angeles County, spay and neuter costs can range from $1 to $200 for dogs and from $50 to $100 for cats. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says that the city has an obligation to help its residents afford to follow the new law.
Let's be clear, spaying and neutering costs money, but to many low-income residents, this is a huge financial burden. And because of this, people think twice about spaying and neutering their pet or even keeping it.
The mayor announced that PetSmart Charities has pledged to donate over $13.8 million. This money will be used to establish 7 new spay and neuter clinics throughout the city to help low-income residents sterilize their pets. Last year alone, 15,000 cats and dogs were euthanized in Los Angeles animal shelters. Erin Darling, Annenberg Radio News.
Dodger Stadium is getting a makeover, and the area around the stadium is getting a new name. The Los Angeles City Council today passed a resolution to call it Dodger Town. Before that can happen, one of LA's congressional representatives must first sponsor a bill to redraw the zip code boundary. Dodger Stadium is getting a $500 million remodel. That should be done by opening day in 2012. Tonight will be clear with a low of 65 degrees. Perfect temperature for you to attend a block party and watch the second presidential debates, hosted by the Los Angeles Sentinel newspaper. Tomorrow will be another high reaching 92 degrees with sunny skies and calm winds. The overnight low will be a brisk 63 degrees. On Thursday, we will have excellent conditions with a high of 79, followed by a chilly nighttime low of 59 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a troubled South Los Angeles high school gets a helping hand. We'll talk with a woman at the center of reform efforts at Crenshaw High. Not everyone's complaining about the country's stumbling economy. Thrift store giants Salvation Army and Goodwill are reporting sales jumps of as much as 15%. Privately owned shops are reporting even more, up to 35%. One thrift store chain executive says more middle and upper class shoppers are looking for bargains after being pinched by high gas prices and an unstable economy. Tonight's town hall style presidential debates will give audience members a chance to interact with the candidates. But what about Angelenos who want to voice their concerns? We sent ARN's Natasha Yassar to the Figueroa Corridor to ask locals what's on their minds when it comes to the election.
It's funny, I just get called on by people because I'm an Alaskan like Palin, and it's funny them asking me what I think about Palin because, you know, I'm from Alaska, but I don't think I'll be voting for her.
And I am very excited about the debate tonight. I would like to find out exactly who's going to really talk about the issues and really give the facts about what the issues are about and see how they project on it.
I'm excited about it. Hopefully people are paying attention and they see that, you know, Barack Obama is the clear choice for president.
They're not bringing up any debates that, you know, they're just going back to their sound bites. And I understand that really the debates aren't for me since I already made my decision months ago.
It's not pointing out each moment has its own need. The United States of America has its own precise needs at this time and this space.
I look at it like this, the best man win. I think the people in the United States is ready for a change to see what's going to happen.
It's pretty exciting. I think it's cool that young people are finally getting interested in politics and people aren't as apathetic anymore.
Crenshaw High School is trying a new approach to school reform, opening its doors to outside help. Timothy Beckworth has the story.
Crenshaw High School is reaching outside the LAUSD system to try and save itself from slipping enrollment. Crenshaw has become a flagship of LAUSD's Innovation Division, also known as the iDesign Program. It connects neighborhood partners with the greater superstructure of the school district. The troubled high school is now collaborating with the Greater Crenshaw Educational Partnership, a nonprofit coalition of groups that include the LA Urban League, the Tom and Ethel Bradley Foundation, and USC's Rossier School of Education.
They're starting to feel a little bit of the autonomy that would come with this, but also the responsibility and the accountability for taking charge of what's going on at the school.
That's Omar Del Quito, executive director of iDesign. It's only been 1 month, but he thinks the transformation the school needs is already underway.
We're very happy with the progress. The school has looked better than it's looked in recent memory. There's a lot of passion, and there's a lot of participants who are trying to do better things for students than we've had in the past.
President of United Teachers Los Angeles, A.J. Duffy, says LAUSD needs all the help it can get and that the teachers of Crenshaw supported the partnership from the beginning.
But none of us have any illusions. We're dealing with bureaucrats, and we're going to have to fight every step of the way.
Parents, community leaders, teachers, bureaucrats, and the students will have to hit the ground running if this reform can stick. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
One thing that distinguishes the reform effort at Crenshaw High is the Educational Partnership's emphasis on developing community. Interim Executive Director Dr. Sylvia Rousseau says the LA Urban League has typically focused on five areas: housing, employment, health, safety, and education. I spoke with her at Crenshaw High School.
And of course, we conceptualize that a way that education sits in the center of all of those things, because schools are deeply impacted by what's happening in relation to housing, employment, safety, health issues. By the same token, the community is much impacted in those areas by the quality of work and the results that schools have in educating residents of the community. So there's kind of a reciprocal relationship. So if we want the community to make Crenshaw their first choice in enrolling their students rather than going to a charter school or going across town, then we have to fully engage the community, and the community has to see itself as a key factor in the future quality of the school.
So assuming this is successful, I mean, what would that mean? This is one school in what some people consider to be a broken system.
Well, I think you have to take into consideration that the partnership came into being under a division in the district called the Innovation Design or Innovation, so that large school districts recognize that there are many policies and restrictions and limitations and procedures that aren't necessarily helpful to schools. So there's a larger framework. So there's some acknowledgement on the part of the district and the district working with the state. that we can do some of this reform inside a school district. You know, you can't do this work by throwing stuff over the fence and saying, okay, try that. You can't do this work by remote control. You really have to become part of the fabric to find out why and how. High schools are such complex organizations, and unless you get in them and see in the intricacies, you really don't get substantive reform. Ultimately, this partnership will expand to feeder schools, middle schools, and elementary. But we thought it would be prudent to start with one school, the most complex of them all, and the one to which all of the others bubble up. Those students come here. Hopefully, then, that will then at some point launch conversations with the feeder schools to say, so in light of this, what does that mean for your schools?
What are some of the progress indicators that press visiting mm-hmm. Crenshaw High School mm-hmm. and looking at mm-hmm. this project need sure. to be looking for?
You would want to see if there's a reduction in the dropout rate. You would want to see if there is an increase in attendance. Test scores, the California Standards Test, do we see improvement in that? Do we see an improvement in the number of students passing the high school exit exam? And I think you would want to see indicators of greater parent participation, not only increases in the number of parents, but the different kinds of relationships that begin to emerge between teachers and their students and parents.
That was Dr. Sylvia Rousseau, the interim executive director of the Greater Crenshaw Educational Partnership. Sunset Strip staple. The House of Blues might be shut down after a series of violent incidents. The landmark nightclub and live music venue could lose its business license if it does not improve its security. Police have made 44 arrests at the club in the past year for offenses, including fights, disorderly behavior, and grand theft. The West Hollywood City Council is investigating the club and its proposed security enhancements. A congressional panel released statements today accusing American International Group executives of hiding risky investments from auditors before the government bailed out the insurance giant last month. The Federal Reserve loaned the alien company $85 billion. The statement isn't exactly breaking news. Last March, federal regulators complained that AIG lacked sufficient independent oversight of its financial products. Now we check in with Kirsten Benson to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Digital.
Thanks, Brian. Coming up on Annenberg TV News, tonight we cover the debate live for the first time ever. It's also the first town hall format of the debate, so we'll see which candidate has an edge. Also, the economic crisis. The Federal Reserve today announced that they're buying commercial paper to help out big businesses. Confused about what commercial paper is? We'll tell you all about it. Also, the foreclosure stress. Are money problems pushing people to the edge? We'll talk to a mental health expert. All that, plus the ever-loved Meet with Pete tonight on ATVN.
Thanks, Kirsten.
Thank you.
Remember the economic stimulus rebate checks? Some people never got their checks, and others never even filed for them. Click on website AnnenbergRadio.org to hear how the AARP is helping older Americans file for their money. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Denise Langiltoti and Natasha Yassar. Jean-Luc Bruneau is our producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brian Frank.